This morning, I'd like you to turn with me, go with me, as we say, I want to start at Hebrews 3:13. And I made a goof in the scripture on the front of the bulletin. Pay no attention to that. I made a goof. Instead of, I gave Pam the wrong coordinates. And so we ended up at the wrong place. But Hebrews 3:13, and then I'll read the Proverbs, the one that it should be. But nonetheless, Hebrews 3:13, I want to read a couple of scripture verses and get going here on something. We're going to listen to a song in just a minute and want to try and knock this out in my 25 minutes. And God helping me. Okay? But Hebrews 3:13. Is Hebrews in the New Testament? And that's wrong. We're in trouble. Okay. Which says, but encourage one another. Doesn't that just sound good? But encourage one another. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, as long as it's right now. Encourage one another. And he said, you want to do this so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then Proverbs 27:19. Many of you, especially the guys, have heard this scripture verse. And because of a particular men's ministry that has taken its theme from this verse of scripture. And it says, Proverbs 27:17. I'm numerically challenged this morning. 27:17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so does one person another. Just join me in prayer for a second. Father, I pray that this word, as we look into it, God, it will not just be like, a train going by the house that we're used to and don't even hear anymore. But God, somehow this word would grip us and call us to attention this morning because of your speaking it to us, touching our hearts, drawing near Holy Spirit right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so here we are in this passage of Scripture. And, a number of things that I want to get at. And before we get there, I want us to hear this song. Some of you who are of my generation and think that some of the greatest rock music is from the 60s will recognize this song. Let's hear it, Mel, if we can. Oh, you got it.
The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. But I'm strong It's a long, long road from which there is no return while we're on the way to live. Why not share?
So hang on to that. Listen to that line again, that his welfare is my concern. Wow. His welfare is my concern. I love this song. It talks about the unpredictability of life, and it is, isn't it? And when you're on that road and it's unpredictable, how nice it is to have someone who has your interests in mind, that they make your welfare their concern. I'm telling you right now, or something about that. And so, this is how I want to go at this, okay, this morning. So you got to follow me now, all right? You got to follow me, because we're going to get there. So, living your life without discipline, all right, is like driving without traffic signs. Eventually, guess what? There's going to be a crash. Can you imagine? There will be. There'll be a crash. I like this little book here by Oswald Chambers that I picked up called Christian Disciplines. I picked it up at my new favorite bookstore in Litchfield at the bottom of the Congregational Church there where they sell used books. This thing is brand new. I got it for $1.50. Imagine that. And anyways, it's called Christian Disciplines. And there are a lot of them, Christian Disciplines. And I love some of these that he looks into that maybe we don't think about, like the discipline of suffering. You know, we don't think about suffering being a discipline, but we all suffer. How doesn't it make sense then that, boy, we ought to get some training in how to suffer a little bit better than we do? Okay, everybody who likes to suffer, go ahead, raise your hand. It's like... You know, and it's like if we offered a course in training how to suffer, I wonder how many we'd get signed up for that course. It's like, no. And yet at the same time, yeah, it's a major discipline for us. I like another one here. He's got the discipline of loneliness. The discipline of loneliness. And have you ever been lonely? I mean really lonely. Like the kind of lonely where you're in a crowd. And the crowd could be friends, and yet you're still lonely. You're still by yourself. Yeah. And I think we all face that, all of us, at different times in our lives, and some more than others, depending on the season or the circumstances of their lives, and that he would talk about it, the discipline of loneliness, you know? And so there are a lot of different disciplines. The title of my message this morning is the discipline of accountability. The discipline of accountability. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Your welfare is what? My concern. The discipline of accountability. How it is that we have to learn, as in any discipline, you know, we call different studies that we get into, in fact, our studies, you know, academic disciplines. And there are disciplines in life. And boy, so many of them that we could mention. And accountability is an important one. And I want to look at it maybe from an angle that you haven't heard this morning. If I had my stethoscope this morning, I'd have it on because I want to exercise a little accountability and ask some questions this morning to see where everybody's at as well. Nevertheless, there is value in discipline. And I just want to read a couple more from Proverbs that, you know, We think of discipline and we think, hey, you know, stop using that four-letter word, you know, discipline. And we think of that sometimes, you know, oh, discipline. Ugh. But it is. You know, I've been going to the gym now for a while, and I'll tell you, there are mornings, you know, when I get out of bed, when I wake up about 5 to go to the gym, that I start arguing with myself not to go. And before my feet hit the floor, somewhere way back in the recesses of my subconsciousness, I say to myself, I'm not engaging in this argument. And I go. Because if I started arguing, I'd stay in bed. And I just go. Well, that's a discipline. That's a discipline. And there's value to it. And looky here, just a couple of Proverbs. And there's so many that we could read, but Proverbs 16:26. Let me see if I got this one right. Proverbs 16:26. No, I'm all mixed up. And I got that one wrong too. Proverbs 15:10. Let me try 15:10. 15:10. Come on, be right. Oh, yeah. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path, but he who hates correction will die. There's benefits. You stay alive. You know, there's a benefit to discipline. You know, and there's so many more that we can read. And those of you who know, I mean, take again exercise, the discipline of exercise, for instance. Any of you who've been engaged in it, you know there are benefits to it. There are health benefits. And there's no guarantee that the longevity of your life will be increased by exercise, but it does increase the quality of your life. And so there's benefits to discipline. And in talking about it from this whole idea of the discipline of accountability, it is something that we have to learn, how to hold each other accountable and how to receive accountability. I don't know which one is more difficult. They're both difficult. How to receive, you know, help from someone else when it comes to, hey, he's holding me, she's holding me accountable to something. And so I would put it like this. For love's sake, we keep each other accountable to make good in our lives the grace that has come to us in Christ. Now, I want to take you someplace. I want to take you to the beginning. And in the beginning, that is Genesis, the beginning, we know the story of Cain and Abel. And we know that Cain asked the question after he murders his brother. And Cain says, you know, God comes and says, what happened? Where's your brother Abel? And Cain says to God, am I my brother's keeper? And he says it like that. And probably with a little bit more pain and contortion coming out of his own. Am I my brother's keeper? He says to God. Well, the short answer to that is, yes, Cain. Yes, you are. Now, here's the deal. What's going on here with Cain and Abel? You know, and we go to 1 John. When you look at 1 John, I know around chapter 4 or 5, he talks about how Cain murdered his brother, and it talks about loving one another, and don't hate one another. Don't be like Cain. And you say, what's going on here? What happened with Cain? Well, this is what I think happened. Abel was trying, now we know that God showed favor upon Abel, because Abel was making good the grace of God in his life. Okay? And Cain was just letting it slip away. I think what happened was that, and I don't think I'm reading too much into Cain's response to God, am I my brother's keeper? I think that Abel was trying to keep his brother accountable to God. And it got to the point where he didn't like it, and the didn't like it turned into hate, and the hate turned into murder. He didn't like it, that his brother was calling him up short. Yeah. And so what did he do? He killed him. When God comes on the scene, he says, ah, what do I got to do with my... You see, for love's sake, Abel was... But Cain couldn't handle it. Only if he would have responded to it, it would have been life for him and not death, because he got kicked out. And so, giving and receiving accountability is an important part of our lives as Christians. And that's why I put it up there as the discipline of accountability. And we read from Hebrews where he says, listen, do this on a daily basis. See? Now, I will look at this in a minute. I like that he puts it in the context of encourage one another. You know? But he's saying, listen, you have a responsibility for love's sake to one another to hold each other accountable to the grace of God that's working in your life, that you make good on it and not let it slip away. Now, let me just look at three immediate benefits, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Here's the first one. The immediate benefits to exercising the discipline of accountability. One, when we get this thing going between us, we help each other to stay faithful, you got it, to our first love. Now, my first love is that I love Jesus. See, that's my first love. In the book of Revelation, he talks about this, doesn't he? That the Ephesians, they left their first love. The Laodiceans, their love what? Anybody know? Grew cold. And so when we're this way with each other, notice what he says. See, he says in Hebrews, he says, by encouraging each other, what you're doing is preventing a hardness from seeping in because of sin's deceitfulness. You're turning cold. Cold as stone is hard. And he said, boy, you don't want to do that. And so by exercising this discipline of accountability, we help each other to stay faithful to our first love. The second benefit is this. We help each other to avoid hidden dangers that will destroy our lives. I said destroy our lives. And there are hidden dangers. There are things that, you know, we all have blind spots. And we need one another to help us with our blind spots. And so they chime in, and it comes across as encouragement to, hey, you know, you ever get instructions, you know, driving instructions from someone, whatever, and they say, hey, you know, but you don't want to go that way because of this or this. Well, they're helping you. You thought it was the fastest way there, but now what they just said is, man, you're going to avoid, you know, so many streets. They're working on it here. There's maintenance, and they're helping you. And the same thing, there are hidden dangers. And by getting into this gift of accountability, we help one another to avoid those dangers. It's a good thing. It's a benefit. And then the last one that I have that I want to just mention is this, that by keeping each other accountable, we are helping one another to keep growing and not to get stuck. It is so easy to get stuck in life where you're at. It is so easy to get stuck in life where you're at spiritually, in your relationship with God, which is the most important thing about our lives and who we are. It's so easy to become stuck, distracted. And by keeping each other, by calling each other up, by holding each other accountable, we become motivators for one another to keep going, to keep growing. That's a benefit. Because when you stop growing, you don't just stop. You regress. You go backwards. So growing. Okay, and so accountability. Accountability. This is where we're at, and this is the role that I want to take on this morning. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I've been in the program for pushing 45 years, and I'm your accountability partner. Yeah, I'm your accountability partner this morning. And so being your accountability partner this morning, I'm your accountability pastor. I want to ask you some questions, all right? And I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4, yea, verily, 5 accountability questions that only you can answer, or your spouse. I'm glad I said that. Nobody calls me up more to accountability than Sandra. And I'll tell you, a lot of the times I thoroughly dislike it. I'm sorry. But she is my accountability partner par excellence. Okay, extraordinaire. And so here's some questions. Here's the first one. You ready? Some accountability questions. Are you doing your devotions daily? That's the first question. Are you doing your devotions daily? Now, I know that, you know, we're well into the year. This is now the 7th month? Yeah, 7th month. And so this is I do this annually, don't I? Where I ask you, hey, you know, you started your reading program, reading through the Bible in January. How you coming? You getting through it? Are you halfway through or more? Are you doing your devotions daily? Are you finding that time to do what it takes, or are you allowing work to crowd it out? Your time that you would otherwise give to devotions, are you allowing your family to crowd it out? Are you allowing entertainment to crowd it out? Are you allowing commitments that you make and jeopardizing your spiritual life, not taking into account that your greatest commitment is to your first love and doing devotions daily? It's 3D, by the way. That doing devotions daily keeps you in perspective, keeps you going. So that's my first. See, when we hold each other accountable, we ask these kinds of questions of each other to call each other up on, so to speak. And so that's my first one. Here's the next one. So are you doing devotions daily? And, of course, if you're not, catch up. If you're not, do it. Because your life depends upon it. See, living without that is like driving without traffic signs. You're going to crash. Listen, crashes happen when you're doing your devotions daily. But when a crash happens and you're doing your devotions daily, at least you got something there to use in the crash. We got to get lemon. And here's the next one. You ready? Are you watching your integrity? Are you watching out for your integrity? Listen. There are things in our lives, like that. There are things that, physically, for instance, that you lose your sight. Now, I don't know this only by what I'm told and told by people that this has happened to. People who lose their sight, a compensation happens where their hearing becomes so more acute. It's incredible, you know, so that they almost see what they're hearing. You know what I'm saying? And other things work like that. You know, people have some kind of handicap or disability that the body works or that emotionally works to compensate for it. If you lose your integrity, nothing is there to compensate for it. Nothing. And so, you know, we have to consider these things that, you know, do we lie to save face? We make a mistake and too embarrassed, and instead of owning up to the mistake, we lie. We pass the what? The proverbial buck. You know, who, me? I did that? And do we shade the truth? You know? And once again, you know, I'm not saying these things. These are accountability questions that I call myself up on short, and I want other people to call me up short, except Sandra. And so, because once again, we live with our spouses. They're the hardest to take. But the idea being that, you know, these are integrity things. You know, you walk out of the store and the cashier, you know, overpaid you. And it's like, Jesus, I just want to thank you for this extra blessing this week. God, you know I needed the extra $25. Hallelujah, amen. No, you turn around, you go back in and say, hey, you know what? You made a mistake. And I this money is not mine. You know? Integrity stuff. And on and on I can go, but just to hold us accountable this morning, are we watching our integrity?
Here's the next one.
You know, are we looking for opportunities to break the orbit of life revolving around me? Are we looking for opportunities to break that orbit? You know, it's like after me, you come first. And, you know, and God has to help us that we need to hold each other accountable, that God made us to serve. God made us to serve one another. He really did. He didn't make it so that life revolves around me. I'm not made that way. Jesus breaks me free from that orbit, see? And I come into my own. I come into my purpose. I mean, I'm looking for opportunities to how is it that I can break the orbit of it's me. It's all about me. All the time it's me. Ew. And look for opportunities. All right, you got it. Here's the last one. I said five. I'll hold true to that. Now, the accountability of the discipline of accountability when it comes to relationships. Ooh, this is big. Whew. This is big. Did the shoe drop on that one or what? That's big. Now, not only do I mean, watch now, I want to. Little twist here. Not only do I mean, I do mean, when it comes to good and wholesome relationships. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, don't be deceived, don't fool yourself. Bad company corrupts good morals. Period. Who you hang with will influence you, affect your life. Okay? Period. Well, Jesus hung out in bars and was with, you know, prostitutes and the low life. One, you're not Jesus. Let's get that straight right now. Number one, you're not Jesus. Okay? Number one. That's right. You're not Jesus. Secondly, wonderful. We are friends. I have sinner friends. Thank you, Alicia, you're here today. And I love you. Oh, my God. You know, and no, yes, I mean, I have people who are friends who are the furthest way away from. I mean, I got people who they consider themselves my friends. They swear at me. I'm not kidding you. And it's like, but then it's like, well, who's influencing here? Who here? You know? And that's the key here. Well, we got to be careful here. And it can happen. So it happens like erosion. You ever see a bank of a river? You drive by one day, and then a year goes by, and you drive by again, and it's like, how'd the water get over there? Well, it almost imperceptibly, it took a year, but it finally got there. And if we're not careful with who we hang with, well, I'll tell you what, it happens that way, because he's a smart devil. He's a smart devil. Sorry. and that's how it works. Not, you know, don't see some of your friends with horns and pitchforks. Be careful. But this whole influence thing. All right, but this is really what I want to drive home, okay? With this relationship thing. I'm done. I know I'm past my time, but this will take quick to say. Is that even grammatically right? This will take quick to say. Okay. That the emphasis in that word from Hebrews is what? But encourage. Don't be judgmental. God help us. You know, don't be judgmental. You know, don't be hard. You know, hard. You know what? And I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking, you know, to coddle and we wink and let things. No, because no matter sometimes how you say it to some people, because of where they're at, right? They just what? Just can't handle it, you know? And but yet at the same time, he says, encourage one another. You know, it's like, some are so hard. They come across by looking down on. You know, they're so smug. They got it all together. I have to confess, it's like me. I have been smug with my weight loss. When I see anybody where I used to be with an overhang, and especially at the gym, and Planet Fitness is supposed to be a no-judgment zone, I cannot convince my mind. I'm confessing my sins. I'm confessing. When I go to Planet Fitness, I judge. For some, it's hard. They're asking for it. They really are. They are just plain old asking for it. I mean, when you're running on the machine and you're going like this, listen, you're running. You're getting enough exercise. Why do you got to make your body do that too? I don't get it. It's weird. It really is weird. But anyways, it's like, you know, and we have this tendency. Well, I got it all together, and we become smug. And people who are struggling in a particular area with something, we do what? We look down on them. Instead of being encouraging, we're discouraging, right? Come on. We need to hold each other accountable to these kinds of things. Here's the deal. You ready for this one?
Yeah. Bring it.
You don't know. I don't know where another person is at until you have walked their journey in, period. Until you've walked their journey. You just don't know another person's journey until you've walked in their shoes. And God has to help us that, boy, that we feel these things. This is kind of the buffer, if you will. In exercising the discipline of accountability when it comes to relationships, that holding each other accountable doesn't mean that we become the Nazi accountable partner. No. But that we're, you know, listen, when you have walked the same journey that another person is walking, you know what you become? A grace dispenser. That's what you become. And when you could take a step back and you say, you know what? I really want to be hard on this person right now. You say, you know, something's going on in their lives. I don't know. You're doing yourself a world of good when you stop right there. You take a step back and say, hey, you know, maybe what this person needs is some grace right now. And when you have walked where they have walked, well, it doesn't take much contemplation to say, hey, you know what? I need to be a dispenser of grace. You know dispensers of grace, right? You get pushed down, you know? You get pushed down. When you get pushed down, well, just let it ooze on out. You know, that grace. And so there you have it, the discipline of accountability for us, for me, the discipline of accountability. And man, encourage one another. You know, yes, call each other up short. Oh, boy. You know, I can remember when I was in 7th, 8th grade, I had a basketball coach, and we were practicing, and he came in, and we were throwing the ball wrong. And he came in and grabbed the ball. Mr. Stumacher, I can still remember his name. If he were here right now, I'd slap him. And I can remember as a 7th, 8th grader, and he came in and ripped the ball out of our hands and started reaming us, so you know what. And I'm like, I was like, I'm not playing basketball anymore. Are you kidding me? Forget you, buddy. And I have coaches, I've seen my kids, they've coaches who are strong and whatever, but that's nuts. And listen, I want you to read your Bibles, and pray and live up to it. But it's like, you know what? It's like, y'all going to hell. Get your Bibles out and read them. What do you think you're doing? Stupid people. I don't even have that in me anymore to do, I hope I never have had. Let's stand together in his presence. We're done. Did you get the message today? Did you get the message? The discipline of accountability, And you've heard me say it. So, I'm your accountability partner. And, I have friends and pastor and whatever, and it's like, Melissa, Hebrews 13, she was saying about obeying your leaders and whatever. And that's what I have found. I have found that, people, is their pastor, oh, pastor. And then it's like, hey, why don't you take a look over at this in this area of your life? And I'll help you. I had a situation where Sandra said to me this morning that such and such a person is like this, and God needs to change them. And I heard myself say, God and Bob will help them to change. I believe that about myself. God puts me in people's lives to help them change. I believe that 100% about me. It's like, I don't mind change as long as I don't have to. And that's the basic attitude with people, right? With all of us. I'm going to help you change. And then you know what they say? Time for a new pastor. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I commit this word to you. Your people. God, all that happened today, wow. Miles of stuff happened today. Thank you.